You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to another episode of the IDP Show. I'm your host, Jace Abbey, and as usual, I'm going to be delving into my week 11 IDP rankings, discussing the players I like and dislike at each position. Joining me in that undertaking today is a titan of the IDP community, NFL analyst, an IDP writer at The Athletic, Football Guys, and Bleacher Report. And if that's not enough, he's a former winner of the FSWA Writer of the Year Award twice, I believe. The godfather of IDP himself, Mr. Gary Davenport. Gary, that's an impressive list. As impressive as it is difficult to announce in one breath. How the hell are you, my friend?
Oh, doing well. Glad to be here.
Good stuff, good stuff. I mean, where do you find the time to create as much content as you do? I know from our messages earlier on, you don't get a lot of sleep.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
That's the secret, is it?
From, you know, about, I don't know, because the magazine work starts in May. So from say May to December, I just don't sleep or ever see my family. And I don't know, for all I know, they prefer it that way. You know, once January rolls around, I actually have some free time. They kind of give me dirty, these funny looks from time to time. So maybe it's better that I'm just down in the basement, you know, 14, 16 hours a day, banging away at a laptop.
Yeah. I was kind of surprised to get a DM from you at it was like mid to late morning my time, which must have been God knows what time at your end. Well, look, you know, I appreciate you taking the time out from your busy schedule to kick back with me and talk about some of these IDP rankings for week 11. So to that end, let's kick things off by talking about linebackers, everyone's favorite position in IDP. Linebackers we like. Who are you featuring here? Who do you want to talk about in this spot?
You know, I picked out a guy that's actually filling in for another guy who's hurt, unfortunately. I say unfortunately because I have Nick Bolton all over the place and probably won't get him back until the fantasy playoffs, maybe. I'm stashed on IR. Drew Tranquil. The Kansas City Chiefs going up against the Philadelphia Eagles in that titanic Monday night battle. The Eagles are allowing the most tackle opportunities per game in the NFL. They're, I think, third in fantasy points per game allowed to the linebacker position. I think they're going to come out with DeAndre Swift to try to run the ball, try to control the tempo of the game, try to keep that Kansas City offense off the field, because Philly's defense, I mean, their pass rush is great. Their linebackers are good. That secondary has been a little suspect this year, and the Eagles know that as well as I do. So I think they're going to look to run the ball with DeAndre Swift, control tempo. I think it's going to be a lot of tackle opportunities, and Drew Tranquil should be on the field for every defensive snap. I've got him as my 10th-ranked linebacker.
Yeah, I agree with this take, Gary. The Chiefs, you know, they don't play a lot of zone coverage. That doesn't seem to really matter with a guy like Tranquil. You know, he's had no fewer than 7 tackles in every game where he's played more than 80% of the snaps. He's the clear number one there with Bolton out, as you say, an every down guy. And, you know, he brings that sort of big play potential too. So, yeah, it could be another big week for the Tranquil here in a decent matchup against the Eagles. So the linebacker I want to mention here is Elandon Roberts. He's my LB 26 this week, one behind Zach Cunningham and one ahead of Devondre Campbell. You know, the Steelers have been decimated at linebacker this year. First, you know, Cole Holcomb was lost to that knee injury. 2 weeks later, Quan Alexander tore his Achilles. It's just been kind of brutal, hasn't it? So kind of by process of elimination, the keys have been handed to Landon Roberts now. He played almost every down last week, almost doubling his highest snap share of the year. And he had a pretty productive day, 7 tackles and a pass breakup. Nice to see. There's just not a lot of competition left on the roster, really. There's Mark Robinson. He was a 2022 seventh round pick, 60% snap share last week after barely seeing any time at all in that defense all year. But to me, it looks like Roberts is going to be the guy for the foreseeable. We kind of know who Roberts is, don't we, at this point in his career? He played sort of 600, 700 snaps per year in the last 2 years behind Jerome Baker in Miami. And, you know, he's not really the kind of guy you want to rely on too heavily if you're Terrell Austin. He misses a bunch of tackles. He's pretty limited in coverage. It just doesn't really matter all that much in fantasy terms. We care more about a linebacker who's going to be just playing a ton. And Roberts should be a full-time guy going forward or near to it. And lastly, you know, it helps his week 11 outlook. He's playing for the Browns, playing against the Browns, sorry. And they're a pretty nice matchup for opposition linebackers. Any thoughts to add on this one, Gary?
Yeah, I had Roberts as one of my, you know, other linebackers I liked this week. Maybe I liked him a little more before the news came down today that Deshaun Watson was out for the season, because I'm a little concerned about Cleveland's ability to sustain drives now, because it looks like they're going to start Dorian Thompson-Robinson at quarterback this week. And the last time we saw him against the Baltimore Ravens, it was kind of a disaster. But even so, it could be a good thing for the Steelers that Watson's not going to be there, because like you said, Roberts, not a great guy in coverage, not the rangiest linebacker in the world, but I don't know that those shortcomings will be as evident this week against Cleveland. You got to figure the Browns are going to lean heavily on Jerome Ford and Kareem Hunt in that game, which should mean quite a few tackle opportunities. Yeah, I think Roberts, LB26 is closer to his floor this week than his ceiling.
Yep. So give me your quick hitters, quick rundown of any other linebackers you like for week 11.
Well, like I said, Roberts was on there. My guy, Azeez Al-Shaair of the Tennessee Titans, who I feel like I have to say something good about Azeez Al-Shaair I've been doing it like every week since like March. I've been talking him up. So I feel obligated to talk him up again. It's got a good matchup against the Jacksonville Jaguars team. It should be angry after getting tub thumped by the San Francisco 49ers. And another guy that's been forced into action by an injury, Ivan Pace, the undrafted rookie for the Minnesota Vikings. You know, Jordan Hicks is going to be out indefinitely after having surgery on his leg. Kind of puts Pace into a similar situation as what we see with the Landon Roberts. You know, Pace has his limitations. Pace has his issues. But Pace is what they have left. I mean, they re-signed Anthony Barr off the street, but this is a new regime, new defense. 4 days later, he's not going to pull a Josh Dobbs and go out there and lead Minnesota to victory. So, and the Vikings are going up against the Denver Broncos team that leads the league in fantasy points allowed to linebackers. So I think Ivan Pace, like Roberts, is a guy who, in some shallower IDP leagues, probably going to be available on your waiver wire, would make for a fine spot start.
Yeah, a good list. I had Pace on my list, unsurprisingly. You touched on it there, but I think some of these reports about how much of an impact Barr could make are kind of being overstated slightly, because as you pointed out, is a new DC in town there. This isn't the same scheme that he played in his time previously with the Vikings. So, and obviously he's still on the practice squad for week 11, or so it seems. So, yeah, they're making positive noise about Pace. It seems like it should be him in week 11 and maybe beyond. I'm kind of excited to see how it all unfolds. Obviously, he looked great in preseason and in those first couple of games of the year, but then it's kind of tailed away since, along with his snap share. So, yeah, I'm excited to see how he looks, certainly in dynasty leagues, but also, yeah, in those redraft leagues for week 11. So, yeah, he was on my list. Next guy I had up there was Zach Cunningham. No great surprise to see him return to to an every down role with N'Kobe Dean out. This was in week 9, wasn't it? Because they had a bye in week 10. He's had the lead over Nicholas Morrow there since about week 5, week 6, and I can see that continuing this week against the Chiefs. And finally, Jamin Davis. He's kind of stepped up in a big way, I think, in the absence of Cody Barton. He started quite slowly in his first game without Barton. But in his last two, he's got 20 tackles and a pass breakup. He's kind of trending in the right direction for me. So those three guys for me, kind of like those as well.
No, all quality starts. And you just rattled off like a list of linebackers that I have all like on one team. I had Hicks. I had Barton. I had N'Kobe Dean. So my linebacker core now is essentially trash. And I'm looking at, I'm rolling out umpteen safeties every week in the league. I was, I think, 6-2. Now I'm 6-4. And I'm just going to try and drag that team kicking and screaming into the playoffs, I hope.
I've got a team that's not too dissimilar. Man, I've got like one team I'm pretty much streaming linebackers, which is brave for a 16 team league which starts 4 linebackers. I'm doing okay though. There's a couple of guys, at least one guy every week, it seems, who's on the waivers, who was off everyone's radar the week before, but because of either an injury or just them trending in the right direction. It seems to have been that sort of year, doesn't it?
No, absolutely. Yeah, it's been the kind of year where you look at Josh Woods and you're like, well, Josh Woods isn't that bad. It could work.
Yeah, oh yeah, exactly. Between Josh Woods, Isaiah McDuffie, I think, and who's the third guy? I can't remember the third guy. Those three have kind of saved me at times. It's been great. Jack Gibbons is the other one as well.
Yeah, throw some Micah McFadden in there. Maybe a smattering of Derek Barnes if you're really desperate. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've scraped the barrel. I've scraped the stuff that's under the stuff when you scrape the barrel.
So, look, let's talk about the linebackers we don't like for week 11. Who do you want to talk about here?
He's having a great year, so I don't want to say that I don't like him. I just don't like the matchup. It's Patrick Queen of the Baltimore Ravens, who I have at LB31 this week. Bengals are dead last in fantasy points per game allowed to linebackers. They're 25th in the league in tackle opportunities allowed per game. My hope was that once Joe Burrow got healthy, that we would kind of see that trend, because the Bengals the last 2-3 years were usually a really good matchup for linebackers. They were top 10, if not top 5. It's just not happening this year for whatever reason. Joe Mixon has been okay, but not great. When the Bengals do throw the ball, it seems to be outside the numbers a lot more often than over the middle. They're going out to T. Higgins and Jamar Chase instead of inside to guys like Irv Smith and Tyler Boyd. And I think it's just the opportunities aren't there. I don't love Roquan Smith this week either, but I can't say I don't like Roquan Smith. I'm just not allowed to say that. And Roquan's always got that big play potential. There's always a chance that he could get a sack or an intercepted pass or do something Roquan-y that can save that, 6 or 7 tackle line, which for him is no good. I mean, I think last week against Cleveland, he had 21 stops. But Queen this week, I mean, I know he's like a top 15 guy for the season in fantasy points in most scoring systems. But this week, I think he's more, mid-range LB3 than high-end LB3.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I like the call. I've got to be careful here, because the last time I called out Patrick Queen, he went on to produce something like 11, 12 tackles. as with a lot of these linebackers who blitz so often, he's a kind of a boom or bust guy, isn't he? It feels like this is a bust week because of that poor matchup, as you said. He's kind of a danger to produce or rescue his fantasy managers in any given week with a sack. And that Bengals O-line has allowed a fair amount of pressure in recent games. But I think banking on a sack is risky business. So we're kind of in sync on this one. I probably have him ranked a little too highly this week based on what I've just said there. So it's one I might revisit and adjust him down a little bit. I forget where I've got him ranked, but it's definitely higher than where you have him ranked. So the guy I'm nominating here is Josie Jewell. Don't like him this week or potentially for the rest of the season. He's my LB 44 this week, one behind Christian Harris, which, you know, says a lot.
Yeah,
one ahead of Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. It kind of saddens me to admit it with Jewell, as I kind of expected him to be a lot better this year. You know, as you know, sadly the Broncos are being less reliant on a second linebacker this year under Vance Joseph, and as Jewell has been playing behind Singleton all year, it means his production's taking a hit. I think I should have seen this coming. Joseph's not been a big proponent of a two linebacker scheme. That was neither the case with the Broncos during his first stint, nor with the Cardinals last year. His 61% snap share was a new season low, or very close to it. I can't see the Broncos changing their scheme or approach going forward, because what they've been doing has been working out pretty well in the last few games, right? So yeah, there's just not a lot to like about this situation with him. It just seems to be trending in the wrong direction. Are you holding out any hope for Jewell, Gary?
Not really. Too harsh? And like you said, I think we should have seen this coming. But I think we got a little bit too caught up in, you know, last year Josie Jewell had scored more fantasy points per game than any linebacker in football. And I think we saw that number, and you know how we get. We start salivating a little bit, and we're like, okay, yeah, he's going to be great in 2023. And he's just taking a clear backseat to Alex Singleton in Joseph's defense. Like you said, a 61% snap share, that's just not – you don't want to be rolling out 61% guys in your starting lineup. I mean, it's not to say there won't be weeks that it will pay off, because there are weeks where guys with 45% snap shares go out there and put up a dozen tackles just to drive IDP pundits crazy. But the odds are definitely not in your favor. So, no, I totally agree. Jewell's not a guy. I don't know that I have many shares of Jewell this year, which is just kind of the luck of the draw. But if I did, he would be a guy that I would – if I'm starting him, it's because I don't have any other options.
Yeah. Maybe one for, is it week 14 when we got six teams on a bye again?
13 is, you know, the second bye pocket.
13. Yeah. Well, if it's, you know, maybe in that sort of week, that's when I could, in deeper leagues where I'm starting four linebackers, three linebackers, even maybe at a push, maybe he could creep into my lineup again. But yeah, that sort of 60, 61% level, that's not something to get too excited about. So any quick hitters you want to mention at the linebacker position for week 11 who you're fading this week?
You know, these are all just kind of matchup based. I'm not crazy about Devondre Campbell of the Packers going up against the Chargers. Haven't given up many fantasy points linebackers, and Campbell's coming off a dud last week against Pittsburgh. Eric Kendricks, the flip side of the same game. It's just a bad matchup. And Kendricks has been this I definitely didn't see coming this year. Kendricks has been outshined by Kenneth Murray. Los Angeles this year, he just has. Murray's playing more snaps and putting up better numbers. And Divine Diablo, you could probably say the same about Robert Spillane for the Las Vegas Raiders going up against the Miami Dolphins team that unsurprisingly does not give up a lot of fantasy points to linebackers, because it only takes them three plays to score every drive.
Yeah, that Kendricks one is one that hurt me quite a bit in a few leagues. I fully expected him to come in and be that every down guy. And he was, wasn't he, for like one and a half games before he got injured. But yeah, since he got back, it's been Murray leading the way most weeks. And I thought maybe they were easing Kendricks in. It got a bit close there between the two in terms of snap share. But, you know, he's maintained that lead over Kendricks all year. And it's sad to see. I was kind of encouraged with how Kendricks was playing until last week. The Lions just exposed him in coverage especially, but that probably applies to the whole defense, with maybe the exception of Derwin James. So
that Chargers defense is not good.
As a Chargers fan, it was both frustrating and exciting to watch, because it was just score after score after score. It was just going to be a case of who scores last, who runs out of time. Yeah, for me, I'm not super keen on what's happening with the Cowboys linebackers after last week, especially as it involves me eating humble pie on Marquez Bell, who I kind of got very excited about for about a week. Damone Clark was caught up in that as well. The arrival of Rashawn Evans, well, not really the arrival because he's been there for a little while, hasn't he? But really them giving him more run. Now, I know they were ahead by a lot early, so a lot of the starters didn't play as many snaps as they normally would. But I've just got this sneaky suspicion that Evans is going to be involved a little more going forward, and certainly enough to hurt or certainly cap the value of Clark and Bell going forward. Not something I'm super confident in, but I've just, as I say, got this sneaky suspicion that that might happen. My other guy was Divine Diablo for the same reasons you mentioned. Returned to the lineup after a couple of games, missed with that ankle injury, but his role was quite a bit smaller than it was earlier in the year. They might have been easing him back in again, but even if he plays a bigger role this week, I don't like his matchup against the Dolphins. They've been pretty stingy as far as opposition linebackers are concerned. I also see he's on the injury list again this week, listed as questionable. So that's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, and Miami, everything with Miami goes to the perimeter. You're not getting that middle of the field where your inside linebackers are going to clean up with regularity. Not that linebackers never make plays on the sideline. Of course they do. But Miami just spreads. Everything is speed and going around the edge and touchdowns and two plays. It's just not a team you want to target with linebackers. I'm pretty much any linebacker. In a vacuum, I like Diablo just fine. I love Spillane. It's just not a good week for him. I say that as a guy with a lot of shares of Spillane who will be starting him this week because I don't have, better options available, but I'm not doing so with any real confidence. I expect he's going to come in below average.
Yeah. I have to say our fantasy teams sound very similar. Or maybe that's because, as we were talking about pre-show, we're just in way too many leagues. So we've just got a little bit of everyone. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
So let's talk some defensive linemen who we like for week 11. Gary, who do you want to feature here first?
Now, my guy comes with an asterisk because he's going to have to get out of the concussion protocol, which I really hope he does because this matchup is so good. It's Kayvon Thibodeau of the New York Giants. Commanders have allowed the second most sacks in the league, 47, I believe. Third most fantasy points per game to defensive ends. I mean, I cannot imagine if he plays that he does not get to Sam Howell at least once. Between the New York Giants and the Washington Commanders, they have allowed this year, I believe, 104 sacks. So if ever there was a game to be targeting edge rushers or tackles or whoever, anyone that rushes the quarterback, safety, Nacho Vendor, whoever is going to get Tommy, Danny DeVito and Sam Howell are both going to have rough days this week running from the opposing pass rushers.
Very true. Very true. I'd add the Jets to that list as well, just lately.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe more because of injury on the offensive line than the other two. But yeah, those two or three teams have been, just great to target with edge rushers and those linebackers that blitz often. In general, I'm a little bit cooler on Thibodeau than most. Nine sacks is hard to argue with, even if five of them have come against pretty dreadful offensive line. But therein lies your point, right? The Commanders' offensive line has been terrible outside of Charles Leno, and Howell hasn't helped himself. He's been one of the worst QBs in terms of evading pressure when it does come his way. I like the call here. I like the idea that Thibodeau can break out of, it's probably a bit cruel to call it a mini slump after just one or two games. But this is the week to target, and let's hope he can suit up. So my choice here is Josh Allen. He's my edge and DL7 this week, one behind Nick Bosa and one ahead of Trey Hendrickson. I just really like Allen. I know some of his production has come in bunches this year, but I've really enjoyed watching his sort of progression as a pass rusher. And he's having a career year. His pressure rate and win rate are both way up. In fact, his win rate is second in the league only to Rashan Gary. And of course, you know, the sack numbers have followed. I mentioned him as a fade last week because I didn't like his matchup against Trent Williams and the 49ers, but he still had some success. Didn't get a sack, didn't get home, but he did have five pressures, you know, a QB hit and four hurries. So that was nice to see. This week, Allen's matchup is really nice. This isn't the team that's as bad as one of the guys we were just mentioning, that, you know, the Washingtons, the Giants, the Jets of late, but the Titans, certainly at this spot on the offensive line. So Andre Dillard, he's been one of, if not the worst offensive tackle in the league this year, fighting maybe Mike McGlinchey for that honor. And he's in the concussion protocol. When he's missed time, as he may do this week, Nicholas Petit Frere has stepped in. He also has looked terrible. And yeah, he's going to miss this week because he's on IR. And when he's missed time, Dylan Radunce has stepped in and looked absolutely dreadful, as we saw last week, maybe playing out of position, a little bit harsh on him. So it's, for me, it's advantage Allen here in week 11 by a wide margin. Any thoughts on this one, Gary?
Oh, I certainly can't disagree. And like you said, if Allen has a big game, you know, Allen's a guy that can go out there, and we've seen it, what, twice? I think he's got 2-3 sack games this year. You know, he gets out there and posts 3 sacks. That's a weak winner for you. And the Tennessee offensive line is, like you said, bad. And you've got a rookie quarterback making what is, this will be his fourth career start. Rookie quarterbacks tend to hold the ball a little bit longer than they probably should. So you add that all together. Oh, yeah, I think Josh Allen's easily a top 10 guy.
Yep. The only hope, I think, well, the only consideration that he might not have a huge game is that the Titans must know how terrible they are at that spot right now. It's obvious to everybody else. So it must be obvious to them. So they must be intending on giving whoever starts in that spot a lot of help from the tight end spot, Wiley, and maybe some of the running backs in there as well. Because, yeah, otherwise they know they're going to get kind of get beaten to a pulp by Allen and co. So, yeah, let's see what happens. Are there any other defensive linemen you want to mention in the quick hitter section who you'd like for week 11?
Quick hits. I mentioned F.A. Obata of the Washington Commanders. I had to go look at the depth chart to see who was starting on the edge for the Washington Commanders because they traded Montez Sweat and Chase Youngway. But Obata would play the most snaps of any edge rushers in Washington this past week. So, like I said, the Giants have given up, I think, 57 sacks or some ridiculous number. And Tommy DeVito, it's not Danny DeVito, it's Tommy DeVito. Any NFL quarterback who lives with his parents should be ridiculed. So I'm going to go ahead and just keep calling him Danny. Greg Russo of the Bills, like you said, Jets offensive line, bad. So any of those pass rushers for the Bills, Von Miller, Leonard Floyd, Russo, A.J. Epenesa, who had a sack and a half this past Monday night. Start him if you got him, where the Buffalo edge rushers are concerned. And Alex Highsmith of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And this was before Deshaun Watson got hurt. The Browns have some injuries at defensive tackle, and Highsmith is an underrated talent. I think people would give him a lot more run were he not playing opposite T.J. Watt. And Highsmith had a great year last year, and most of the time Watt was not there. Now that it's going to be Thompson Robinson, I think he was sacked 4 times by the Ravens in his first start of the year and just constantly pressured, and he turtled. At the first sign of pressure, he would like pirouette and turn around and start running backwards, which as a Browns fan made me a little crazy. So it's going to be a bad day for the Browns, I think, all around Sunday, unfortunately. But I knew as soon as they hit 6-3, huge win over the Ravens. Happiness in Cleveland. Happiness is not allowed. I've been a Browns fan for 40 years. We're not allowed to be happy. So I knew something bad was going to happen, and it did.
Are you allowed to be content, at least?
No.
Miserable. No?
Yeah, okay. Miserable. Okay. Just miserable.
Just miserable. Yeah, I just want to touch on Alex Highsmith. You mentioned him being underrated, and I was one of those people that probably underrated him. Coming into this year, I certainly didn't expect him to play as well as he has this year. But yeah, I've been really impressed with what I've seen. He's one of those guys. He passes the eye test for me, which is an important one. Not pretending that I know more than anybody else, but when I watch a game, I want to see that guy play really well. So the Steelers games that I watch, he does pop, he does stand out. And I really like these guys that show that kind of progression from year to year, steady progression, continual progression. The Josh Sweat types, you know, the Josh Allen, to mention him again, types, those guys that every year seem to get just a little better. It's nice to see. And like you say, that matchup works in his favor too. No Deshaun Watson. As you said, they're hurting at tackle with Conklin and Wills, and maybe Dewan Jones missing as well in this game. So yeah, nice list. I like that. And the Effie Abada one as well. Good call there. He's probably been the most productive of the remaining edge rushers on that roster over the last couple of years. And yeah, any quarterback whose mom still makes his bed is deserving of spending most of the game on his back. So I'm looking forward to how that happening. So yeah, my short list. It's maybe get a little early to get too excited about this one, but I'm kind of liking what I'm seeing from Adafe Owe. Certainly, what he's starting to show us anyway. The raw numbers look a little underwhelming. He's only got 3 sacks, 25 pressures, but you know, he missed 4 games, so that kind of accounts for some of that. And like Allen, who I mentioned earlier, with the way his pass rush win rate and his pressure rate are both way up on what we've seen before. And yet, like I say, he passes the eye test. He looks disruptive when you watch him play. Whether he's getting sacks or I think he forced a fumble the other day, that kind of popped as well. So, yeah, I like what I'm seeing from OA, and I'm interested and intrigued to see whether that continues. Jonathan Allen is my next choice. He's been a bit underwhelming this year, but that Giants O-line and DeVito, like you say, they've allowed a bunch of sacks, 11 in the last 2 weeks. That's more than I think Patrick Mahomes has been sacked all year. So, yeah, I mean, someone on this Washington D-line stands to benefit. And I think in the absence of Chase Young and Montez Sweat, Allen is one of the best bets remaining. It certainly seems unlikely to be Daron Payne on the basis of what we've seen this year. So, yeah, Allen for me could have one of his biggest weeks of the season if he plays as well as we know he can.
I hope so, because I've got Allen in a couple defensive tackle required leagues, and I've been waiting all damn year for him to do something. And if you can't get it done against the Giants, it's not going to happen.
That's a problem.
I don't even know what their pace would be. I mean, they've got to be threatening the all-time record for sacks allowed in the season. I know it was the I don't know what the number is, but I know it was the expansion Texans with David Carr. I think it was 80. I want to say it was 86 is the most sacks that have ever been allowed in a season.
I didn't know that.
And they're on pace to shatter that mark, I think. Oh, yeah, that's what wrecked David Carr's career was that first year in Houston. He spent so much time on his back that he just started hearing footsteps. And it got in his head that, you know, he dropped back and immediately just started looking around like, I'm going to die. Whether there was a pass rusher there or not, and it just that first year rattled him so badly that I think it just his confidence was shot after that. Although, you know, he landed on his feet. TV that got that easy TV money now. So.
Yeah, when you got perfect hair, this is yeah.
He's a handsome fellow.
Damn him! But yeah. What was the record? Did you say 80?
I think it was 86. It's 80. It's in the high. It's between 85 and 90. Under 90, yeah. But I think above 85.
Right. I think Washington are at like 47, 48 now. So that's,
and I think the Giants are at 57. Like you said, the Giants were bad before DeVito took over. They were already giving up. So that's how Daniel Jones and Tyrod Taylor wound up dead. The offensive line is awful. That's why they're on their third quarterback. The first two are dead. But I don't know what they're going to do if DeVito gets. They've got Matt Barkley now, so that should be interesting when they trot him out there. So I'm waiting for the Browns to sign Colt McCoy just so I can throw things at my television set.
I kind of want it to happen now, just so I can hear a rant from you.
I can have to hear Colt McCoy's damn name again. When the Browns took him in the first round, you don't even. Oh my god. and they traded up to do it. And as soon as this is, you know, years ago in the NFL draft, as soon as I hear the Cleveland Browns have traded into the like the 21st or 22nd slot, I would immediately just enraged because I knew they had done it to draft Colt Dan McCoy and knew he wasn't going to be anything in the pros. And I was right on both counts. Like I said, Browns fan, nothing but misery and rage and hopes and dreams being crushed. I don't know, but I can't stop rooting for him. I'm stuck.
Hey, this is good. How many TVs have you gone through over the years?
A few. It's not the TVs that I break because my aim's not very good. So usually when I chuck the remote at the TV, I miss the TV and the remote hits the wall. And then at least I only need the remote control. So luckily, you know, we have Amazon now, so you can order a universal remote and have it delivered the next day. No problem.
I've got visions of you like buying a new Amazon remote like every weekend.
Every Sunday night. Just keep three or four in a box behind the television. So, you know, you want to have that spare so that you don't have to wait the day until it's delivered.
Yeah, for sure. You just got a big skip outside your house just full of broken TV remotes and TVs. So let's talk about some of the D linemen who we don't like this week. Who are you fading in week 11?
I hate to say this, and I don't know that I'm fading him in the leagues where I have him. You almost have to start him, but I've got Nick Bosa at the back end of the top 10 at DL 10, which is about as low as you'll ever see me rank Nick Bosa. Bucs are 30th in the league in fantasy points per games allowed to defensive end. Baker Mayfield has only been sacked 15 times this season. Yeah, it was great to see Bosa last week get that sack and a half because I'm rather over getting 14 instant deep, getting 14 DMs every week asking what's wrong with Nick Bosa. What's going on with Nick Bosa? Is Nick Bosa ever going to turn it on? Should I drop Nick Bosa for fill in whatever defense, whatever edge rusher had 2.5 sacks the week before? And the answer is always no. He'll be fine. He's Nick Bosa. This just happens with edge rushers. Sometimes they go through dry spells. So it was good to see him get off the skid, Nick, last week. I don't expect him to have a sack this week. So here it's going to come again. You know, is Nick Bosa done? Nick Bosa's overrated. Nick Bosa this. Nick Bosa. Nick Bosa's fine. It's just a bad matchup. And even the best edge rushers can go through. Well, I went through this because I think Myles Garrett didn't have a sack the first two games of the season this year, and people were asking me, what's wrong with Myles Garrett? And I'm like, are you serious? Are you genuinely asking me if something is wrong with Myles Garrett? No, he's fine. And then week three, I think he had like 2.5 sacks, and now he's tied for the league lead with 11 and could win defensive player of the year. It's just the nature of the position. Unless your league scores for, you know, QB hits and hurries and stuff like that, unless they get home, you don't get points. And the difference between getting home and, you know, the difference between a hurry and a sack or a knockdown and a sack is literally the blink of an eye. And the sacks aren't necessarily indicative of how well an edge rusher is playing. And it's hard to get people to understand that sometimes. I mean, we know that. You know, we know, like you said, pressure rates, win rates, and that's how you can tell when an edge rusher is playing well or not playing well, how he's affecting the opposing offense. But, you know, all anybody wants is sacks, and unfortunately, I don't know. It pains me to say that about one of the prides of the Ohio State University, but I think Nick's going to have a little bit of a slow week.
Yeah, I'm all for gutsy calls. Yeah, maybe those people contacted you. Just we were spoiled last year. He was so consistent in that sack column. Anyway, he had like two games all year where he didn't register at least half a sack. So yeah, I mean, but yeah, I like the gutsy call, Gary. I mean, some would shy away from naming one of the top players at the position among their dislikes here. But you make a good case. You know, Tristan Wirfs is as good a pass blocking offensive tackle as you can get in the league. And Luke Gudica as well. He's looked like a totally different guy this year. So if any team can slow Bosa down, it could, or at least should be the Bucs on paper. The only potential spanner in the works in terms of that argument, I think is that I saw Gudica is questionable. So my list starts with what might be, it's not as bold as yours, but it might be an unpopular choice still, in Tuli Tuipulotu. He's dropped out of my rankings altogether for week 11. I know he's been productive with those seven sacks, but he's been handed a much larger role than he would have done in the absence of Joey Bosa. But Bosa's much healthier now and was given a much larger role last week, or much larger than he's seen in the previous 4 or 5 weeks since he returned to the lineup anyway. Clearly, they were easing him back in. We're waiting until he was fully healthy before really kind of unleashing him. And by contrast, Tuipulotu's snap share dropped by like 24, 25% to just under, I think it was 39 or maybe 38%, which is pretty poor, the lowest he's had since the season opener. His stat line obviously suffered, finished with just one QB hurry and an assisted tackle. And I think that's just going to be a sign of things to come. He's going to find it really hard to remain anywhere near as productive as he's been so far this season when he's just playing so little. It takes one good or one very lucky play to make these sort of predictions look stupid, but yeah, not keen on Tuipulotu. What say you, Mr. Davenport? Anything?
Oh, no, I don't think he's startable anymore now that Bosa.
Yep.
Looks like he's fully healthy against Bosa and Mac. And like you said, he's mixing in 30-something%. It's awfully hard to trust a guy who's playing less than 40% of the snaps. You're rolling the dice. Like you said, you're going to have to get lucky that he's going to get home in one of those. And I used an average matchup. No, it was fun while it lasted with Tuli, but it's the sometimes in IDP, the party ends and you just have to go home. And now the party is over at Tuli.
It is. So do you have your eye on any other defensive linemen you're fading or not keen on this week?
You know, I'm not crazy about Josh Sweat going up against Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes just does not get sacked. I wasn't going to put Hassan because Hassan Reddick, speaking of guys who everyone was like, oh my God, what's wrong with Hassan Reddick? Because he went like 5 games without a sack and then had like 6 in 2 or 3 games. Reddick, I'm not going to fade, but Josh Sweat would be low end DL2, would be, I think, is the optimistic side of projection for him against the Chiefs. Not crazy about Quinton Williams against Buffalo, which just continues what has been just a – I had Quinton Williams as my top-rated defensive tackle entering the season, and I still don't quite know. I mean, I know that his level of play has been higher than the stats indicate, but all we care about, again, is stats, and his stats this year have sucked. So it's been disappointing, to say the least. And Brian Burns of the Carolina Panthers, assuming that he plays – going up against a Dallas Cowboys team that's playing with the offensive line is playing well. Dak Prescott is playing lights out football right now. He's not getting hit much, much less getting sacked much. So, you know, Burns is another guy that odds are if you have him, you're going to have him in your lineup. But you bet temper expectations. I don't know that I expect a whole lot from him in Charlotte this week in a game that, again, you wonder in the second half how much the Cowboys are even going to be throwing the ball because I have a feeling they will be playing from ahead.
Yeah, you're right on that one. And even with Burns, he practiced fully today. So even with that confidence that he's going to be suiting up, like you say, it's not a great matchup for him and the Panthers. Quinnen Williams, yeah, I obviously agree with that one because he's also on my list. Some might say it's a bit of a risky call, even though the stats haven't been quite there. He's continued to bring plenty of pressure, and he got his first sack of the year last week. I just don't think this is his week. Like you say, the Bills have allowed very few sacks, and they typically don't allow a lot of tackles to defensive tackles either. So it's not like Quinnen's got a great matchup in that sense, like he can make up for lack of sacks with tackle production. So Montez Sweat is my next guy. Purely a matchup concern is that the Bears go up against the Lions this week. Firstly, the Lions haven't given up any sacks in the last 2 games, despite facing some pretty good competition over that period. I think Max Crosby, obviously Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack, none of them managed to bring down Goff. Sweat has played the vast majority of his snaps on that left edge, meaning he'll see plenty of Penei Sewell, And he's only allowed, I did a double take when I saw this the other day, but he's only allowed 5 pressures and 0 sacks all year, which is pretty, wow, pretty damn incredible. And I guess secondly, yeah, I don't think the game script is going to work in Sweat or the Bears' favor. I think Fields is playing now, isn't he? I saw in a report earlier today.
He's expected to play is what I saw.
Even so, I mean, against the Lions team, like the one we saw last week, they're going to be scoring for fun, I think. And yeah, I think they'll be running the ball a lot with Gibbs and Montgomery. I don't think there's going to be a lot of opportunity for Montez Sweat there. So yeah, he's a guy that I'm fading this week.
Yeah, it's been kind of a rough year to be a Sweat owner because he had a really good first half, and you're like, okay, you know, I think if anything, he exceeded expectations. But then he did those mid-season trades just kill a guy because, you know, he's got to adjust to a new team, and generally speaking, they'll ease him in that first week or two. Although Sweat's kind of just been thrown into the deep end. But it's been a while since we saw a nice stat line from Montez, and it might be a little longer until we get that nice stat line from Montez. Not that he cares. I mean, after that contract extension he got from Chicago, I'm pretty sure he's just fine with relocating to the Midwest. $98 million will do that for you. Yeah. I mean, I know I would. I'll move anywhere you want me to for $98 million.
Oh, for sure. Definitely.
I'd live in Florida for $98 million, and it might take that.
Not a Florida fan then, no.
No, I've been to Florida too many times to be a Florida
fan. Okay. Fair enough. I've only been there once, so I probably not the best person to judge. But look, let's move on to defensive backs. Let's discuss some safeties and corners. Who do you think is a good play at the position this week, Gary?
You know, this is a little bit of a gut call, and I don't know if it's because this is a guy that I've always been kind of partial to. I think this is the week that Kevin Byard of the Philadelphia Eagles kind of shows why the Eagles went out and got him. This is the week he makes a big impact in a huge game against the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl rematch. Chiefs are 6th in fantasy points per game allowed to defensive backs. You know, he's going to be patrolling that middle of the field, which means he's probably going to see a fair amount of Travis Kelce. I've always liked Byard's ability to combine decent tackle numbers and occasionally make that big play, get that takeaway. I want to go ahead and just call it and say that he's going to intercept Patrick Mahomes this week. I can't guarantee that will happen, but I do expect Kevin Byard. I had Kevin Byard as a top 10 defensive back entering the season. I have him as a top 10 defensive back this week. Like I said, I think this is the week that he's going to show Eagles fans and sports fans as a whole why Philly was so wise to, which I did. I thought that was a great trade for the Eagles because they gave up a bag of Funyuns and a 6-pack of Guinness to get him. So I think this is the week that he really kind of comes into his own as an Eagle.
Yeah, yeah. Just to be clear, was the Terrell Edmonds part of it? Was he the Funyuns or the Guinness? Which part?
He was the Funyuns.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm like you, man. I love this trade for the Eagles. Always been a Byard fan. Like you say, he's always a danger to come out of the season with like what 5 interceptions. He must have done that a bunch of times now. And it is encouraging to see the Eagles utilize him in a similar way to how the Titans did. You know, it would be silly for them not to, really, given that he's been so productive in that role over for such a long period of time. You know, the tackle volume has been quite nice this year. The big plays, those interceptions that we speak of, they haven't been there. But yeah, maybe this is the week. You heard it here first. Gary has called it and said that Kevin Byard will definitely intercept Patrick Mahomes this week. So if it doesn't happen, then come for Gary, most definitely.
Sure, why not? They come for me anyway, so why... Mob forms to the right, the pitchforks and the torches. There will be a nice pile. They'll be labeled for everyone. So they're, you know, nice boxes of tomatoes to fling at me.
Yeah.
It's fine.
You'll be like, damn, Jace is just, yeah, he's definitely contributed to the volume of the mob that's coming my way this week. So my guy is Jaquan Brisker. He's my featured guy this week. He's my safety and DB10, one behind Rudy Ford and one ahead of Josh Metellus. You know, Brisker started the season, pretty well. Had a bit of a lull before the injury, but has been kind of on fire the last two or three games. In his last three games, he's got 26 tackles, a sack, a forced fumble, and a pass breakup. And that's a pretty nice return for a DB. But there's more to this nomination than current form. He's got a nice matchup against the Lions this week, I think. They come into week 10, allowing one of the highest tackle rates to opposition safeties. We saw Derwin James and Alohi Gilman combined for 18 tackles on last weekend and two pass breakups as well. So I think Brisker's got a good chance to extend his hot streak against Goff and Co. this weekend. Where's your head at on this one, Gary?
No, I agree 100%. We're seeing the Brisker that we thought or we hoped we were going to see before the season. Mm-hmm. And I think Brisker was probably, if not in the majority of top 10s, I don't think he was outside the top 12 on many preseason rankings lists. And then obviously he got injured. And but now he's done a much better job of backing up his rookie numbers to this point than Jalen Petrie has. Whereas Petrie has disappointed somewhat, although I think that has a lot to do with the change in defensive scheme in Houston. Brisker, now that he seems to be rounding back into form, like, there's the Jaquan Brisker that I thought I was drafting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so any other DBs you like for week 11, Gary?
I like Trayvon Merrick of the Las Vegas Raiders against the Miami Dolphins. Obviously, the Dolphins are a team that tends to keep opposing defensive backs happy. Merrick is having a career year. Tackle numbers are up. Nice big play mix. Has been far more productive from an IDP perspective than I expected him to. But that's defensive backs for you. That's why I never invest highly in them, because there's always going to be half a dozen guys that come from nowhere and you're like, where did this guy come from?
Yeah.
I've got Eddie Jackson on my list. I've got Brisker's running mate, Eddie Jackson, now that the veteran and the youngster are back together. Batman and Robin are back at the back of the Bears defense. And I think Eddie Jackson's going to have a good game against, like you said, a Lions team that has been quite friendly to the safety position this year. And I've got Jonathan Owens. Last year's where the hell did this guy come from over the first 6 weeks of the season? 2 weeks in, everyone's like Googling it. Jonathan Owens. Oh, wow, he's dating Simone Biles. And that was like the most interesting thing about him. And he's going out and putting up 12, 15 tackles every week for the Houston Texans. And he faded badly over the second half and then signed with Green Bay and wound up a reserve there. But now with Darnell Savage going on IR, Owens is starting for the Packers. And he hasn't put up the kind of numbers in Green Bay that he did early in the year in Houston last year, but they've been decent. And, you know, guys like Owens and Jackson are probably going to be out there on waiver wires for a lot of IDP managers, which, again, is why I tell people you don't have to invest a lot. And I mean, Derwin James is a great player, but you can fade the top five, top 10 defensive backs on draft day in your IDP league and be fine, because 10 weeks into the season, there are going to be Eddie Jacksons and Jonathan Owens and guys like that available on your waiver wire.
Jonathan Owens, just want to touch on that one. Yeah, really nice to see him relevant again. Didn't expect a lot from him this year. It became apparent it was going to be Rudy Ford and Darnell Savage, but yeah, he's got his chance, and he looks like he might be grabbing it with both hands. A lot of his points have come by virtue of big plays, and I think the question there is really, you know, can that continue going forward? I'm not sure, but I really hope it does. And he's got the opportunity, which is the main thing. He's playing every down. He's going to be playing every down for the foreseeable. So, yeah, nice call. My quick hitter likes at the DB spot starts with Deron Bland. He saw a slight drop off in snap share last week, but as I said, obviously the Cowboys rested some of their starters after being 1,000 points up early. And Bland still made an impact. He's got the Panthers this weekend. Bryce Young's had three games with multiple interceptions, and the Panthers allow a ton of tackles to opposition cornerbacks. So I think Bland's a pretty nice start this week. Wadra McCreary is my next guy. I'm not as confident in him as I am in Bland. Obviously, McCreary's missed some time this year, but he's been kind of productive in the games he has played. Five or more tackles in four of the six games he's actually finished. And he's added a couple of sacks, a forced fumble, had his first interception of the year against the Bucks last week. And, you know, we've seen him produce high volumes of tackles before. That was the case with him in 2022. So, and that makes me more inclined to see or to believe what I'm seeing from him this year, although it's only in a small sample size. So, yeah, I quite like McCreary.
McCreary's a guy that I'm looking hard at this week. And yeah. In leagues where, because normally if I'm in a league where I have to start a cornerback, I'm going to stream. Mm-hmm. But guaranteed, the last guy I draft in that draw on draft is going to be the cornerback or the two quarterbacks. My last two picks, if you have to start two. However many quarterbacks should be, those would be my last however many picks. And then I'll just stream them as the season goes on. You know, I like the matchup with Jacksonville. I expect the Jaguars to be angry after what happened last week against the 49ers. And I think McCreary is going to be busy. I think you're going to see a solid tackle day out of him. And Trevor Lawrence has not played great football the last month plus. I think you've got a decent shot at, you know, half a dozen tackles and maybe that interception that is the difference between a good day and a great day. So I'm looking hard at it. And he's a guy that's going to be available just about everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Because of that missed time, you know, he's kind of falling off people's radar. But they're so volatile, the cornerbacks, even in the kind of scoring formats that try to make them less so. But I like a guy like him who just seems to be pretty consistent. Five tackles, pretty much a minimum for him each week.
In the Kings Classic Butkus division, the IDP draft of the Kings Classic, the defensive scoring is different. I created it. The last I looked, the highest scoring player overall, any position, offense or defense, was a cornerback of all people. It was Kenny Moore.
Because I did see your tweet on this. Yeah.
Yeah, that two pick six game was worth like, I think he scored like 77 points that week alone. So it was a good week if you had him in your, It was just a bad week if you had him on your bench. Much like the 6 week, the six sack Khalil Mack week. Because I think that week he was on a lot of benches. And I know that in deathmatch, a league that I run, the six sack week for Khalil Mack was worth 97.75 points. And there were a couple different people who tweeted that it was on the bench. So you left 100, literally have to sit there and stare at 100 points on your bench from one guy as you're looking at, you know, the 4 points that your edge rusher got because you got to tackle it and assist. I love IDP. I love IDP scoring that's different. I love IDP scoring that's weighted to where the offensive and the defensive guys score similarly. Mm-hmm. And I love IDP scoring that's a little unusual. I don't know. I play in everything from leagues where it's just vanilla, old school IDP to, like I said, stuff like the Butkus division where it would probably take me 10, 12 minutes to explain the scoring. And I don't even know if I understand the scoring and I did created it. So.
But it kind of makes it more interesting, doesn't it? You know, when you've got some scoring formats.
I wanted to do something a little different. I wanted it to be something that, because, you know, it's an expert, it's an industry league. So all of us know what we're doing. I wanted it to be something none of us had ever done before. Mm-hmm. Where we walk into that draft at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, none of us, not a one of us, have any idea what the hell we're doing. And that is exactly what happened. No one was sure when the first defensive player was going to be drafted. No one was sure when that first big IDP run was going to happen. It was great. And the first IDP came off the board with a 13th overall pick, which was fantastic. It was great.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love the mentality. Yeah, just shake it up and confuse the hell out of everybody. What's not to like? I'll have to join you next year. It sounds like a lot of fun. Sounds like a lot of fun.
No, it was. It was fantastic.
So look, we're on to the DBs that we don't like this week. Who is your featured fade at the position for week 11?
It's a guy that I hate to throw out there because he just came back from injury and his numbers have picked up. He's got 10 total tackles in each of his last two games, but it's Buda Baker. of the Arizona Cardinals. I've got him as my 20th ranked defensive back. So, you know, he's a starter. If you're in a league where you're starting a couple defensive backs, I just don't know that he's an especially high-end one. He only has one game this season with 6 solo tackles in it. So he's getting, whether that's a virtue of, that could just be the scorekeepers in the stadiums that he's playing in as much as what he's doing, but he's not getting awarded solo tackles, which is hurting his production. He hasn't made any big plays. Doesn't have any interceptions, doesn't have a forced fumble, doesn't have a fumble recovery. I don't even know. He might have like one or two passes defense. There's just nothing but tackles. And they're going up against a Houston Texans team that is dead last in fantasy points per game allowed to the safety position because C.J. Stroud is a golden god who never does anything wrong throwing the football. Ever. Ever.
Ever.
Ever.
I thought we were going to be far apart on this one when you mentioned Baker's name, but I've got him as my DB13 this week, so I don't think we're that far apart at all on this one. I recognize his matchup isn't ideal, and I've factored that into his ranking. He's dropped something like 11 spots over where I had him, I think, last week. But I don't want to drop him too far because he has been consistent, even though relatively high number of his tackles have come have been assists, as you pointed out. I just wonder, and this might be blind optimism on my part. I wonder if he's the kind of guy who could buck that trend here for safeties who are playing against Houston and have the kind of game that like a Xavier Woods or maybe Minka Fitzpatrick did against Houston earlier in the year.
He's certainly capable. I mean, Buddha. Yeah. I think Buddha's a better talent than Xavier Woods. I don't know that I would call him a better talent than Minka Fitzpatrick, but Buddha Baker is an excellent football player. Where Xavier Woods is maybe above average. Minka Fitzpatrick, elite level safety. Buddha Baker, elite level safety. You know, they're making the big bucks. Xavier Woods, his checking account is not quite as robust as Buddha Baker and Minka Fitzpatrick. Not that he's hurting for rent. I'll take Xavier Woods' bank account if he doesn't want it. You can give it to me.
Oh, yeah, same. Florida. We can split it between the two of us, I think.
Yeah, I probably moved to Florida for Xavier Woods money.
And that's saying something.
I'm going to get so many tweets from angry Floridians like, the hell's wrong with Florida, man?
What do you mean you're going to? I've just looked at your Twitter profile, Gary. It's been flooded literally the entirety of
Florida. All you have to just Google Florida Man, and that's all you need to do, and you'll understand what's wrong with Florida. It's frightening. And I'm alligators, man. I'm not living anywhere with giant lizards in the water.
No. Yeah, that does sound off-putting. It is a bit off-putting. When I did visit Florida, I did spend a lot of time looking at the water bodies out there and thinking.
Go outside looking for your dog and it's just gone because an alligator ate it. I mean, that's messed up. That's not right.
It's not right. Yeah, you're right. It's not right.
So I don't have very big dogs. I love it. I have smaller dogs. They would be eaten. I like my dogs. You got to get that. Then you have to buy a great big dog so the alligator doesn't eat your dog. So you're stuck with a giant dog. You have to clean up after the giant dog. It's just the whole thing just spirals from there. All the things you have to do to avoid your dog being eaten by an alligator.
You make good points. I'm less likely to move to Florida than I was an hour ago. That's
well, wasn't that the whole point of me coming on here was to ruin Florida for you?
Yeah, absolutely. You've done exactly that. It's been an education. I will not move there. And if I do, I'm going to get a big ass dog. That's the moral of the story. Okay. So, look, for me, I'm losing faith in Geno Stone. He's my safety 50 or DB 73, one behind Javarius Ward and one ahead of Pat Surtain. His tackle numbers have been pretty poor for what seems like about a month now. Hasn't had a single game with more than 4 combined tackles since like week 4. None of that really matters because he's been getting interceptions for fun. He's got like 6, leads the NFL in that category. But the reason I got him here is simple. I don't need to go into it in too much detail. Marcus Williams is back, and in his first game back, Stone went from being an every down safety to playing like 2/3 of the snaps, 66%. So You know, and as the clear third option behind Williams and Kyle Hamilton, he won't be able to sustain the interception numbers we've seen. In fact, even if he was playing every down, he wouldn't be able to sustain the interception numbers we've seen so far. So, yeah, I'm cooling on him. He's dropped quite a bit in my rankings, and he did so last week. The expectancy that Williams would come back, he will still have a role. We know that the Ravens under Mike McDonald do sometimes like to pedal out three safeties. We saw a bit of that last year with who was it? It was Hamilton, it was Stone again, and it was Chuck Clark, wasn't it? I think. So yeah, he might still have a role. I just don't think it can be big enough to sustain the kind of production we're seeing, and I think there's invariably going to be a drop off.
Oh, I can't argue that. Even when Stone was racking up interceptions, he was never a defensive back that I would see on the waiver wire when he was available and be like, oh, I got to get Geno Smith. I've never been a big fan of chasing those guys who are just almost totally big play reliant for fantasy production. Because then you're either going to get a smash week and rah, or nothing. And I'm not, those all or nothing guys make me crazy.
I'm with you there. So on to the quick hitters, the final segment of tonight's show, sadly. Any other DBs you don't like for week 11?
You know, Xavier McKinney's been hot. I expect that he is going to slow down this week against the Washington Commanders. It's just a bad matchup for safeties. And his tackle numbers have been higher than you would usually expect from Xavier McKinney. Same thing for Harrison Smith. It's just a matchup based against the Denver Broncos, or not a team to give up a ton of points to safeties. And he's competing with Cameron Bynum and Josh Metellus for the tackle opportunities at the safety position, because the Vikings were already playing three safeties essentially 100% of the snaps. And now that with the injuries they had a linebacker, I can't imagine that that is going to change at any point in the near future. And Grant Delpit of the Cleveland Browns against the Pittsburgh Steelers, once again, just matchup based. You know, like Delpit as a player, hope that, I think he got a little nicked up last week. Hope that's not serious. But the Pittsburgh offense is just, it's not great. The Steelers have been outgained in all nine of their games this season, and yet they're 6-3, which is just bizarre. And they're probably going to be 7-3 after this week because they're playing the Browns and Dorian Thompson-Robinson, because, again, misery, pain, and disappointment are what goes with being a Browns fan.
Look, I think all three of those guys have dropped in my rankings. I'm going to quick scan through here as we discuss it, all three. Smith, in particular, has been kind of underwhelming lately. Had that big week against the Panthers, didn't he, when he had three sacks, a forced fumble. But he's kind of followed that up with 11 combined tackles in his next game. And then since then, 5 tackles per game he's averaging. In the 5 games since, that's really poor. It's actually poorer than I recalled it being. You know, for a guy who's always been, again, like Kevin Byard, we were talking about him a minute ago. Like same with Smith, always been a guy that has been a virtual lock to come away with like 5 interceptions in a season. The lack of production in that department for Smith is concerning. I think it's hard to swallow for those fantasy managers that have fallen in love with him over the years, but maybe inevitable. Age, like you say, competition, Metellus and Bynum have been on fire at different times this year. It's just not Smith's year. Certainly not his week.
Right.
So I've got a few names to add to that list here. So Tracy Walker is the first one. He's been less involved since Brian Branch returned. I still think he's startable. He's still in my rankings, but I wasn't in any hurry to start him before Branch came back, and I'm certainly in no hurry to start him now. The situation just kind of hurts his stock a little bit more for me. Amani Hooker's my other one. He's been an inconsistent performer this year, and he's kind of been matchup dependent any given week. And this week he faces a Jags team which allow the lowest tackling efficiency to opposition safety. So that makes me want to fade him this week.
Cannot argue with either of those calls.
Okay, look, so that brings us to the end of this episode. Gary, it's been an absolute pleasure breaking down these rankings with you today, and I'm sure our audience, except for those Floridians, of course, have appreciated your insight. We'll have to do this again at some point, huh?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure everybody is already following you anyway, but just in case, share where they can find you and your abundance of fantasy content.
You know, I generally don't like to try to rattle off all the different outfits I work for because it seems like I always forget one and then I feel bad after. So if you just follow me on Twitter at IDP Sharks, you'll see all the stuff I write for. Oh, it's Bleacher Report, Fantasy Sharks, Football Diehards, Football Guys, The Athletic, NBC Sports. And I think that might be all of them. And if I forgot one, I'm sorry. And Bleacher Report, unless I already said them. I'll say them twice.
There must be two of you, I swear. Or maybe Gary Davenport is a front for like a team of people who just cheer.
That's what's behind the screen is a bunch of monkeys on typewriters.
Awesome. Again, look, thanks for taking the time out from your busy schedule. You've been amazing. I know you would be. As usual, I tend to loiter. If anyone wants to follow me on X or Twitter at Jace Abbey, my full set of rankings can be found over at theidpshow.com. And as always, you know, thanks for tuning in. I wish you all the success in your week 11 matchups, and I'll catch you again at the same time next week. Bye for now. She ain't never left her hometown. We gon' take a trip today. Let me take you away, yeah. We can take a trip to the West Coast.